Sunday Secret September Yud Zayin Elul, Rabbi Joseph Pillman, Bag HaMelech Pas Vayera.
Good morning all. As I was given short notice, I picked a topic which I dealt with in Hameir many years ago, and I'm going to update it slightly. I headed the topic Bag HaMelech Pas Vayelech. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that particular siman. The siman is based on a pasuk in Daniel which talks about the pas bag hamelech, meaning the bread of the goyim, which Chananya Mishav Azariah refused to eat, for which they got great credit. But it's only a siman, and it's the end of another much longer siman, which, if for those of you who have got in front of you, you'll see, I've quoted from Feldman's Kitzur at the bottom, sets it all out. It says, a siman l'kriyas ha-parshiyos. This is a siman to remember where the parshiyos ha-Torah come in. And it starts by saying, b'pshuta piktu pitzu. In a pshuta, that means in a shana pshuta. You first of all, Piktu, that means command, which is the seder of Tzav, and then Pistru, you make the Pesach. So you can remember that Tzav will come before Pesach in a Shana Pshuta. However, in a Shana Mi'uberes, the simon is different. It's called Sigru Upistru. Sigru means to close, and that's a remez to Pash Mitzorah, where the Mitzorah has to be locked away, or put away, not actually physically locked up, but he is taken away from the community, and that's Sigru Upistru. In the Shana Beoberes you have a Mitzorah prior to a Pesach. And then it goes on, Le'olam Manu V'Itzru. Manu means count. Itzru refers to Shavuos. Which seder always precedes Shavuos, or nearly always precedes Shavuos, is Bamidbar, which is the camp, Manu V'Itzru. And then it goes on to say, Tsumu V'Tsalu. Well, Tsumu means a fast, and Tsalu means to pray, like we say, Kabil Tzloso Nuvo'osa Nuchol Yisrael. So which fast is followed by a prayer? It's clearly talking about Tisha B'Av, which is followed by Voyes Chanan. So you know that Tisha B'Av will precede Voyes Chanan. This is a good way of remembering it. It then goes on, according to this Kumu V'Tiku, but in fact, the Nusach which I heard was Imdu V'Tiku. Either way, it's referring to Tiku as blowing the shofar. And which sedra has to come before Rosh Hashanah? Clearly that is this week's sedra, Nitzavim, has to come before Rosh Hashanah. So Imdu means stand up, that's Nitzavim, stand up, and then you will blow the shofar. It's true that this year we will have Nitzavim Vayelech together, but sometimes Nitzavim Vayelech are separate. Now, how do you determine how that should be? And that is where our siman comes in. Bag HaMelech Pas Vayelech. Bag is an abbreviation for Beis and Gimel. Where Rosh Hashanah falls on a Monday or a Tuesday, it's absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the meaning of the word in Daniel, but it is a very good way of remembering it, Bag. That means if Rosh Hashanah falls on a Monday or a Tuesday, then Pas Vayelech. HaMelech, of course, refers to Rosh Hashanah. Then HaMelech, everything on Rosh Hashanah is HaMelech. So Bag HaMelech, when the Melech, that's Rosh Hashanah, falls on a Monday or a Tuesday, Pas Vayelech. Vayelech gets the biscuits. Vayelech gets the bread. What do you mean it gets the bread? It means it becomes a seder of its own. And that means if Rosh Hashanah were to fall on a Monday or a Tuesday, then you can be sure that Vayelech will be Shabbos Shuva, and there'll be another Sedra Ha'azinu in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. However, where Rosh Hashanah falls either on a Thursday or on a Shabbos like this year, then there's no bag, there's no bag, and there's no pas hamelech. We have to have nitzav and vayelech together, because it will be either Rosh Hashanah will fall on a Shabbos, or Yom Kippur will fall on a Shabbos, and either way one Shabbos goes missing, so you have to have hazinu in Shabbos Shuvah, and then the next one will be Sukkot. So there's no room. So that clearly what the Siman is telling us is that Bag HaMelech means that only if Rosh Hashanah falls on Monday or a Tuesday will there be a Devayelech by itself. Now this leads us to another fascinating question. Is Nitzav and Vayelech one Sedra which is then divided into two? Or is it really two Sedras which is clubbed together as one? You might say, well, that's what the difference. Well, this is a really Lomdish HaKira if you think about it. It's a Lomdish HaKira as to whether Nitzav and Vayelech is Be'emes one Sedra which is then divided into two, or whether it is two Sedras which is put together as one. It reminds me very, very much of Lahavdil Elf Avdolos, when I was in practice for a little while. There was an idiotic solicitor on the other side to whom I sent we were doing a conveyance and we were trying to explain the difference to this chap who didn't know the difference between a joint tenancy and a tenancy in common. So anyhow, I sent him the thing. I said, these people are sharing the property. And he said, could you please send me a plan of which half this shutiv is having and which half the other shutiv is having. I wrote back to him and said, I'm afraid you've got this all wrong. We're not talking about halves of holes. We're talking of holes of halves. And at that stage, the poor fella gave up completely. So this is the chat. Is it a half of a hole or a hole of a half? And this is... in fact, you laugh, but the same Shaila comes in Nedorim Negabi Shutfim as to whether or not, if the Mudra, I know as to what's the din, as to which half belongs to who. It's quite complicated, and it's a fascinating Shaila. And we have a sort of similar Shaila here as to whether these is one Sedra or two Sedra. What's the Nafkamina? We'll see in a second what the Nafkamina is. Now, we have a whole pile of double Sedras throughout the year, and in fact Matas Maseh, for example, is kimat always together, but nobody would say that that is one Sedra divided into two. I mean, the longest Sedra everybody knows is Parshas Nosa, 175 Psukim. If Matas and Maseh were to put together, they have 242 Psukim, and there's no Sedra as long as that. So therefore Matas and Maseh are definitely two separate Sedras, even though they're said together more often even than it's on Vayelech, because it's only when there's a Shonam Milberes and other factors which will affect it. Now, a lot of the double sedras which are there for a purpose. For example, we have Chukas and Bolok are only together when Shavuos falls on a Shabbos, like this year. If Shavuos does not fall on a Shabbos, then you have an extra Shabbos, Chukas and Bolok will be separate. Now, although I say Chukas and Bolok, if you look in the Avudraham, it's not Chukas and Bolok. The Avudraham used to put together Shlach Lecho and Koirach. So there's no necessity for it to be this particular Sedra. This is how it came out. Now, let's go back a bit. These Sedras are not Torah's Moshe Mitzrayim. These Sedras were given much later, because the Torah originally consisted of a certain number of Psukim, and they were not divided into Sedras like we've got. And in fact, there were three different Minhagim. There was a Minhag of one place where they used to have 350 parshas in the Torah, which were then divided up, said over 3.5 years, roughly 50 per annum. 175 parshas, beg your pardon. 175 parshas, which is 3.5 times 50. So you find various Ma'amonet Chazal telling us that there are Kuf Hayin Hay Sedorim, 175 Sedorim. That is following the Minig in Eretz Yisrael, where they did it once in 3.5 years, because they used to finish it twice every Shemitah. So clearly the Sedras there weren't the same as the Sedras that we've got, because they had to divide them up differently. And you find in the Gemara Kedushin, there could be different sorts of division. There was another Shitta which says, in fact, there weren't 300, look, keep saying 300, there weren't 175, there was 154 Parshas in the Torah. And that was the 3-year cycle. Because in 2 years you have a little less, but then you're on the third year you have Shonam Yobes. Over 3 years you'll have altogether 154 parashas, which is roughly a 3-year cycle. However, we have a cycle which, according to our Chumashim, is 54 sedras. If you count them up, there will be 54 sedras. They're all set out on this sheet here. All the sedras, you'll count them up, there are 54. However, the Zohar tells us that there were Gan sedras. There are 53 sedras. Now, what's going on here? Is it 53 or 54? You say, what's enough to bring in? Who cares? But the fact of the matter is that for many, many, many years now, certainly in Bovel at the time of the Shas, there were already sedras. When it first started, that goes back into history, but one cloud we have, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu arranges Klal Yisrael's affairs in a certain way, that is Min HaShemayim. Just as we all say L'Davar Hashem Erev Yishi, and we all say L'Chor Doidi, and we all say L'Chun Aranano, even though that was only came in about 400 or 500 years ago, but we all do it, and it's got such a Kedusha. Can you imagine a Yid who said, I'm not bothering with L'Chun Aranano, I'm not going to say L'Chor Doidi this week? You can't imagine it. Even though there's no chiyuv, it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, it's not something which, in fact, there are many places who won't say L'chun Aranano from the Omer, they'll say it from the Bima. Why? Because that's not part of the tefillah, we've got to make Mechalek. And the chazan goes down after Mizmor Shir, he goes down from the Bima, and you start Baruch Hu separately. Pardon? There's different minhagim which have come as a result of that. But what I'm saying is that once the minhag is hallowed, and this is what Klal Yisrael do, nobody would dare challenge it. Now, it's true that at the time of Binyamin Metudela, he was a traveller, and he went travelling all over the world, and when he writes in his Sefer that when he was travelling through North Africa, I think he was in Egypt, he found two different Batei Knesios, and one of them was doing the Midi Yerushalayim, was doing it this old way of 175 parash. Now, if you look at the end of most Chumashim, there is listing there, at the end of the Chumashim, and the listing goes like this. It says, Schum Psukim, so much. Parshiosov, so much. Sidorov, so much. Prokov, so much. Minyan Psuchus of Stumas, so much, etc. So what is the all different names for different things, and at the end of the Chumash of Devarim, it tells us the Schum Psuk is Sefer Devarim is so much. But then after that, if you look at the end, you'll see it says the number of Sedras is 54. The number of Parshias Psuchas is 290 Psuchas and 379 Stumas, etc. And all the calculations are set out there. Now, one thing, let's get clear. Although there's this part, the Parshas HaTorah, there are what's called Sidorim, which I mentioned just now, which is the 175 or 154. There's Sidorim. And we've got Psukim, etc. One thing is mentioned in some places, but at the end of the Torah it's not mentioned. That's the Kapitlach. They're normally called Prokim. Now, please be assured that Prokim and Sidorim are not the same thing. I've been talking about Sidorim, which is a Jewish thing. The Parokim came in only with printing with the non-Jews. It comes from the Vulgate. It comes from a non-Jewish sort. And what we call Kapitlach, or which are called Parokim, chapters, have got nothing to do with the price of cheese. They are not Jewish at all. And I can prove it to you. We know, for example, that Vayechulu is part of the Bria Sa'olam. In any Jewish calculation, you'll find that the Seder will finish after Vayechulu. In fact, on Friday night, Vayere Vayevoki Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShemayim V'Chotzeret, it's one thing. However, if you look at our chapters in the Chumash, you will find that the chapter stops before Vayechulu, which means that Vayechulu is completely separate. Now, that's a Goyisha mentality, and it comes only from the Goyim. And there's many other examples like that, where you find the chapters seem to be completely wrong. So the Shaila is, in that case, why did we have these chapters? So, the Torah Shulema started off, when he started his Torah Shulema, he decided he's going to have Jewish chapters. And he wasn't going to have Kapitlach at all. He said, we can't have them, they're not Jewish. And he's going to cut them out. But he found very quickly that people weren't happy with it. The people, if I quote you a posik For example, if I were to tell you the posik which has got the first posik in the Torah with all the letters in, so I'll tell you, I would say Shemos Tezayin Tezayin, and you'd all remember that's the first posik in Chumash with all the letters of the alphabet. Because I'll tell you Tezayin Tezayin. If I were to tell you the Seder, I have a clue what the Seder is anyhow. But if I were to tell you what it is, it would be meaningless. Because once printing is taken a hold, everybody has the same thing. Since everybody has the same thing, the Torah Shlomit then had Charota, and he said, I can't do this, I have to do through chapters, but I'll put the Jewish Sedarim in as well. So if you look to the Torah Shlomit, you'll find he puts where the Jewish chapter is, but basically it follows the normal context. Now the problem is, I've just said to you before, that if something happens, it's Min HaShemayim, and there's got to be a point to it. What was the point to this? Why should we follow the Goyim nowadays? There must be some Kedusha in some sort. This brings me to a very, very Musadik sort of thing which I've said before. It occurs, I think I may have seen it somewhere, but it certainly, it's a long time ago. It comes like this. The Nehemiah was punished for having a shtickelgeiver, as far as we're concerned, we can't even understand what it was. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless me or remember me because I was the one who built the Beis HaMikdash. And because he was said that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now you're going to get punished for being a shtickelgeiver. Can you imagine? If you just built a new Beis HaKnesses, you made this big shul, wouldn't you be proud to tell everybody, I was involved in building this new Beis HaKnesses. I was the one who had the eights. I was the one who contributed to what you'd be delighted. But that's because we're small people. We haven't any hasaga of what Gaiva is. But for Nehemiah, Lefi, Madrigoso, for him, the Gemara says, it was a shtickle Gaiva, and therefore he has to be punished. How do you punish somebody for Gaiva? So you remove the Pirsoimus from him. If you're an Onov, you get reward, like the Yokton, says Yokton, Kol Eile B'nei Yokton, because he was maxed in his Atzma, he was an Onov, so he got lots of children, and all the children, everybody knows that he's the children of Yokton, that's how a person gets Mefursim in the world. So Medrash says that about Yokton, Kol Eile B'nei Yokton, Nisha maxed in Atzma, therefore he was elevated and he got all sorts of publicity. So what you do, you remove the publicity. How do you remove the publicity? You take away his Sefer. If you look through the Chof Dalet Sforim of Tanakh, you'll find that Nehemiah is not one of them. It's only Ezra. And Rashi says, say for Ezra, when he's talking about Nehemiah, quite clearly, we know that Nehemiah and Ezra is the same Sefer. And as far as the Chof Dalet Sforim is concerned, there's no Sefer Nehemiah. That was his punishment. There should have been, but there wasn't. Now, the Shalish though, Nehemiah's sin was not terribly great. How long is the poor man going to have to be punished for? So it occurred to me that Gemara in Sanhedrin says there are 6,000 years, and each 2,000 is a complete tekufa. The first tekufa is tekufa of Tohu. The second 2,000 years was when the Makabal, the Torah, and the Mishnah had finished it more or less when the Mishnah was given. That's 2,000 years to the year 4,000 is called the tekufa of Torah. And then there's another tekufa which we're in at the moment, the tekufa of Mashiach. So you see, a tekufa is 2,000 years. If you work out from the time Nehemiah was punished, 2,000 years, you'll come exactly to the invention of printing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that Nehemiah's had a punishment long enough. Now we've got to give him his sefer back. How are you going to get his sefer back? How Klal Yisrael are going to bring Nehemiah's sefer back? Well, there's only one way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided he'd create printing, and by creating printing, the Goyim would be the printers, and the Goyim would make Nehemiah as a separate sefer, and therefore now every Tanakh, you'll have a look at the art scroll all the editions, Nehemiah is a separate sefer now. It's not one of the Chof Dalet Sforim, but nonetheless, you'll point to Nehemiah, chapter so-and-so, chapter this, possibly this. Well, now Nehemiah has got his sefer back again. That's why printing came in. Very similar to the Bale Musa, Rabbi Miller Zichron of Rochon, Rabbi Dessler used to say, everything which is created is only for Klal Yisrael. So when they created the television, that's so we should realize that we're on show. We can't misbehave because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching us. He's listening to everything we're saying. He can't listen so far away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the Shemayim. If you can listen to Australia, or you can even listen to the moon, then clearly you can listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hear us. So therefore video and television and microchips are all to be give Klal Yisrael a bit more chizuk and a bit more emunah. So therefore the world is for a purpose. So that's probably why the Kapitlach came about, in order to give us some such message. Now back to where we're here, in Vayel. So now Shaila was that these Sedras, that are altogether 54, and if you look at the Masorah at the end, it says there are 54 Sedras, yet the Zohar tells us that there are only 53 Sedras. How do you reconcile the two? Well, most of the Sedras are clearly separate Sedras, which have to be joined for a purpose. But it occurs to me there could be Nisam Vayelech is different. We could be that Be'emes Nisam Vayelech is the same Sedra, but we're mechanic into two. So all the other Sedras are Be'emes separate Sedras, which you put together in order to get the for that week, because you've got to get to Shavuoth, or you've got to do it before Pesach, whatever it is. However, not before Pesach, it wouldn't be right, because it's Spike of the Kuri, yeah, it's quite right, it worked that too. However, it could be that Be'emes Nitzav Vayelech is really one Sedra. And it's different from others, because that one you divide into. Now what's my Raya? If you look at the end of every Sedra, there is a Siman. The Siman was given by the Masoretes, and they started around about the year 800-900, just at the time when the Masorah was very strong with Ben Osher and Ben Naphtali, and the Masorahs, they used to give Masorahs to show that how many Psukim there are, and said we didn't want people to mix the Psukim up, so they used to make these Masorahs. Now, they gave a Siman at the end of each Sedra, and in fact, in the old manuscripts, there are many different simonim for different Sedras. But again, why is it that we have chosen the simonim that we've got? Again, it's Minas Shemayim. These were the simonim which HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided were going to be chosen by the printer and have ended up in our Chumashim, and we all have these simonim. Sometimes there's one simon, sometimes there's two simonim, and sometimes there can be three simonim. How's that possible? Well, each of these simonim comes from a different source, like this. When I have to give a simon, I've got to get a gematria, which will be the same number as the psukim in the sedra. And there's lots of different numbers. There are very, very few sedras which have got the same number of psukim. One remarkable exception is Bereishis and Miketz, and that's a whole discussion on its own as to why it's got the same number of psukim. It's not just Stamazai. And the simon, believe it or not, for Bereishis and Miketz is the other way around. For Bereishis it's one way around, and Miketz it's the opposite way around. That itself is a whole discussion as to why the siman was changed round in Hashemayim, and in Miketz there's a third siman which does not occur in Bereishis. And of course, in the olden days, there used to be simanim not only for the psukim, but also for the words. Nowadays, we've only got one sedra, which has got a siman for words as well. Anybody know which sedra that is?
Zinu.
Sorry?
Zinu. Tariyag. Words in the
Halina, no, where is there a simon at the end of the sedra for the number of words? Only one sedra has a simon. All sedras have simonim, not all sedras, all sedras bar one have a simonim for the number of psukim, but there's only one sedra which also has a simon for the words as well as for the psukim. That's sedra Miketz, and that's got to do with Chanukah. That's you have a look when you come around to Miketz. I don't want to run out of time here. But there's one sedra which has got no siman at all. Only one sedra. Anybody know what that sedra is? Who? No. Nisam has 40 and Vayelech has 70. Now that's a problem. That's what we're discussing. This is the whole problem. How can Nisam have 40 and Vayelech have 70? We know Vayelech has got 30. We'll come back to that in a second. No, the only sedra which has got no siman is Parshas Pekudei. The only one. All the others have got simonim. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who's a Pekeach, he had the Oliver Shalom, he used to say that the simon for Pekudei was Bali Kol. Bali Kol. That's how much is Bali Kol? 92 psukim. Bali Kol. And the stupid printer then read Bali Kol Simon and left it out. And that's how it disappeared. There's only one chumash which does have a siman for Pekudei, that's the Malbim chumash. None of the other chumashim have it, just the Malbim chumash, and that has the siman Eitzei, Aleph Tzadi Aleph. That's the siman, 92. I was myself to this, that Be'emes, what the siman has to have some connection with the Sedra. Pekudei, the idea of Pekudei is his battlus, because what happened was Moshe Rabbeinu did everything Kasher, Tzivu Hashem. Again and again Kasher said Moshe had no individuality of his own. He only did exactly what Hashem wanted. He was an honor of Godel, an honor of Bikol Odom, and therefore he was Mavatl himself. So I'm saying that the absence of a simon in Pekuda is itself the simon. Because the absence of a simon tells you that I'm nothing. And it's like a loud silence. If you have a loud silence at the end of Pekudei, the loud silence tells you that the simon of Bleakol, which is what it's a Bleakol is Gornish. So Ich bin Gornish. That's what it says.
Why not just Pekudei?
Because that's the seder of his batlus, that's what I'm telling you. That's the seder which tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was mevatel himself completely. You mevatel himself completely, there's no simon left. And that's the seder of Bleak Kol, and it's the same idea of Eitzeh, Ge'aros, from the Caleb. I'm not a person myself. So that's the explanation per Kudah. But there used to be simonim for all the seders. Now, just briefly, the simonim at the end of the seder you should know come from three different ways. One way is it gives you the general picture of the Sedra. There's something in the Sedra which we learn, and this is a central feature in that Sedra. So for example, in Miketz, the third simon is Yihyeh Li Eved. So it's talking about the Avdus in Egypt, so Yihyeh Li Eved is opposite to that idea. And if you go through the art scroll, you'll find that Abdullah Fanchan tries to find in every simon a connection with that particular Sedra to tell you a message from the Sedra. Now, the second way of doing it is to take a word which occurs towards the end of the Sedra or in the Sedra and use that word. For example, at the end of Vayetz, it finishes with the word Machanoim. So, Machanoim becomes the simon for that Sedra. Or Yieli Eved also occurs in the Sedra itself. So that's the second way. One way is it tells you the general picture of the Sedra. One is a word which comes from the Sedra itself. But there's a third one. If I were to ask you to give me a group of something where I could use gematrias, all different, from 1 to 175, well not 1, but from 30 to 175, what group of things would you take? You could take cities, you could take animals, but you wouldn't have enough. The one which we've got the most of, the one which is the most fertile, is the names of people. There's so many names of people in Tanakh. We can find any gematria we need by looking through Tanakh with the names. You've got from Divrayam all sorts of names, and many of the names are from Divrayam. So one of those three reasons is the reason for the simon. And this is what they used to take. The Masoretes used to take one of these things and put them there. Sometimes they would put two, and sometimes there would be three. And that's what we are left with today. So now, at the end of Nitzavim, we have a simon which tells us 40, and at the end of Vayirach, we have a simon which tells us 70, and we all know there are only 30 psukim.
Together.
So clearly that Masoira is telling us it's together. And Lechoira, that is arrived what I'm saying, that Nitzavim, Vayirach, Abem is one Sedra, but we've divided them into two because of when we have Bag. When it's Bag HaMelech, we've got to divide it into two. The Tosis in Megillah tells us that Nitzavim has to be before Rosh Hashanah. Tosis quotes one of the Geonim, because it's got to finish off the Klalos from its part of Nitzavah. But Tosis rejects that, and then he comes out with the conclusion that because Nitzavim is Brochon, we have to have a hefsek between the Klalos of Kisavah and Rosh Hashanah. That's why we have to have Nitzavim at least. It can be Vayelech too, depending on the circumstances. So that would explain that. Now, in this particular sheet here, I've given a list of other possible answers to the fact, to the discrepancy between the 54 and 53 Sedras. I think, personally, that the Nitzavim Vayelech one is the Emes, that Be'emes Nitzavim Vayelech is, according to this Masorah, is one Sedra, with the 70 Psukim, and it differs from the other Sedras, which are much bigger. These are the smallest ones. However, there are other possible methods of reconciliation. I've just got them very quickly. One sheet is Vezos HaBrocha doesn't count. We've only got 53 Sedras which we're laying on Shabbos. Vezos HaBrocha is not laying on Shabbos, therefore it doesn't count. But the problem is that's all very nice for Chutz Lawrence. But now it's Israel, they do lay it on Shabbos. It was on Shabbos lane. the doulein it, number one. So what you got to say is that this division of the Sedras was not in Eretz Yisrael, it was only in Golos, it was in Bovel. And since it was a Bovel thing, in Bovel, so we continue it still, and that's why it was only 53. Even though in Eretz Yisrael, they had a different system. That would be possible. It's a bit of a doichek. And I'm pleased to say that Chidor also thought it was a doichek, so good company. Now, the second possibility is that Truma and Tetzaveh count together, but that is also difficult. Truma and Tetzaveh are completely two different sedars. Nobody even joins them up. Yet there is our Mephoroshim who said that since Moshe Rabbeinu's name did not occur in the whole of Tetzaveh, you have to put it together. There has to be Moshe Rabbeinu's name in sedras until you come to Devorah. And since we must have Moshe Rabbeinu's name in every sedar for Ein Shemois, you have to put Tetzaveh with the Truma, otherwise it's a Pechisus HaKovod to Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore Tetzaveh is considered as part of Truma, even though we never lay it as a double Seder. Well, that's a teretz which has been given, which I think you'll agree it's a nice, clever teretz, but a bit doichek. Another pshat is that Nitzavim is part of Kisavo, because we know that in Bechukosah, Kodesh Baruch Hu finishes the klolos with brachos. In Nitzavim, where are the brachos? Once you finish the klolos, no klolos. So the Mephoshim suggests that Nitzavim is be'emes, the sof of Kisavo, and therefore the brachos in Nitzavim are the finish of Kisavo, which again is a little bit difficult. The final answer, which is well known, is there's only one sedra in Chumash which is not divided from the previous sedra by a proper psucha or stuma. No? Vayechi. So since Vayechi is not divided from Vayigash, it's one Hampshire, therefore the Zayed decided that Vayigash and Vayechi is all one sedra, and in Mele you've got your 50, you've got your 53. But I think of all the answers, I think you'll agree that the one I've given for Nitzavim Vayelech sounds much more plausible, because you've got that Masaira which more or less indicates that this is what was the situation. These are the two very, very smallest sedars, so they could easily be fitted together. And the only reason why we have to divide them is because of Bag HaMelech. The Siman itself is telling us that Be'emes it should be one. But when it's Bag HaMelech, we have no choice. We have to divide them up. So it could be that the Mahus of the double Sedrin in Sovereign Vayelech is a different Mahus from all the other double Sedras. The other double Sedras of Be'emes, one Sedra which has been put together. They are like the tendencies in common. Masha'ed came. The Tzavim is one, that's like a joint tendency, the Be'emes belong together, but sometimes we have to separate them, and that would explain the situation. Anyhow, we've run out of time. You'll find a bit more information here. I've written out all the sedars, and on the back you've got notes, so you can work out exactly what the different masoras say. Sorry? You read the notes on the side, you'll see it explains it all fully in the notes there. I'm going to go to the next one.